This week in the parish of Bourses and Market Structure, MCX shines bright, NASDAQ makes a revenue leap, third time lucky for Lutnick, SEBI's calculated insanity, DFM results sensation, and there's Hosking's broadside at ASX. My name is Patrick L. Young. Welcome to the Bourse Business Weekly Digest. It's the Exchange Invest Weekly Podcast, episode 243. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very brief reduction of highlights amongst the key headlines from the week in market structure. All the analysis of the many events and happenings from the past 7 days can be found in Exchange Invest Daily Subscriber Newsletter, the unique guide to the bourse business sent daily to your inbox. More details at exchangeinvest.com. In bit carnage this week, well, it was a huge case of four-month FUD. In the end, the man behind the Twitter tyranny of 4FUD has ended up with 4 months FUD of jail time after the once seemingly unimpeachable CZ was bolstered by some 161 letters of support. Then again, only 161 letters is almost disappointing when you consider that this time last year he could motivate 1,000 or more braying donkeys to support his view with a de minimis Twitter cris de cœur of "It's 4FUD." CZ apologised, which made a conspicuous difference compared to, say, the sentencing of SBF, and in the end, CZ is a lucky, very, very lucky man to get away with 4 months incarceration, where his former foe SBF has decades in jail ahead of him. If you enjoyed this excerpt, you may be interested to know you can read BitCarnage every day on Exchange Invest. Alternatively, if you want to follow BitCarnage, the daily update on happenings in the world of crypto and digital assets, you can find BitCarnage as a standalone on Substack. This week in exchanges, a fabulous letter in AFR, that's the Australian Financial Review, effectively the Financial Times meets Wall Street Journal, independently owned by Australian interests, of the Australian Antipodean financial markets. Great newspaper it is too. ASX monopoly threatens stability of the Australian financial system, ran the headline for a fabulous letter. I commend the parish to enjoy and read thoroughly Les Hosking's broad-ranging but pinpoint accurate letter to the AFR describing the manifest failures of the shameless ASX, where management has become a synonym for just hang on to your sinecure at all cost. Let me repeat remarks I've made in Exchange Invest this week. Please can somebody buy FEX now and give Australian markets a chance of a two-pronged revival alongside SIBO, formerly ChiX. Or indeed, send me the money and I'll do it. Oz deserves better markets and there's a hefty sum to be made in a potential development of the FEX exchange. Meanwhile, the SEC is in talks with various firms on becoming US Treasury clearinghouses. Monopoly clearinghouses are, in my humble opinion, a hideous idea straight from the Stalin playbook, even though the model naturally leads to a form of monopoly, creating a complex situation within a complex situation. There needs to be some serious competition to the DTCC, which has many great people, but also a vast, amorphous mass of blobular activity, aided and abetted by a PR machine which spouts agitprop but can't reply to our emails. We need a better deal for clearing and settlement, not just of treasuries, and the worry remains the Hail Mary passed blockchain being seen as a means to rescue the likes of DTCC from decades of indolence in various areas. Take note, Europe, that concept of monopoly settlement, which has been much discussed in Brussels of late, is not the panacea for all your ills. Speaking of panaceas for all your ills, SIBO didn't find one, but they did find $15 million they can save. They've closed their crypto exchange, they've realigned their digital asset business, and made a handy cost saving, rationalising their service, which ultimately didn't receive that quasi-mythical beast as customers, institutional crypto investors, as SIBO essentially threw in the towel on trading crypto stuff after a lot of hype. Good news for Euronext on the credit front, they've been updated to BBB Plus, positive outlook by S&P. Meanwhile, CMU still appears to be stalled in Europe, even though former PM of Italy, Enrico Letta, wrote a de facto love letter to Europe's markets, and in France, former Banque de France governor Christian Noyer produced a report. However, When JoJo gives way to actual execution is anybody's guess, and a lot of the talk is of single monopolies, which sounds little short of madness. Meanwhile, it was a tricky week for Indian exchanges, as SEBI decreed with a big back surcharge all the way back to 2006 AD that regulatory fees for options are to be paid on option value, not premium value. Big changes there hit. BSE, MCX and NSE in particular caused a lot of volatility in the stocks of BSE and MCX as well. BSE have already moved to increase their flagship Sensex and BankX index options fees by between 24 and 32%.
Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly. We welcome your feedback. You can contact me directly, patrick@derivativesvision.com, with any comments. Meanwhile, if you enjoyed this show, we would welcome you giving us a thumbs up. Or if you have time, a positive review will always be welcome, wherever you find this podcast.
In results, too many results to mention here. Leading the field were NGX Nigeria, Bulgaria and DFM in Dubai with incredible growth. Amongst the major international markets, Nasdaq, Tradeweb, JPX and MCX all produced good numbers, but with such a busy week for results in the parish, all the details have to be found in Exchange Invest Daily, the newsletter no person can afford to be without in capital markets and market structure. New markets this week, one new market to talk about. Howard Lutnick has lined up his latest attempt to skewer CME with an exciting array of shareholders. Of course, the old adage, this time it's different, ought to be ringing in everybody's ears who has seen previous counter-exchange platforms appear and disappear. It's probably fair to say that LTEL has not massively expanded his circle of friends as chairman CEO of CME since Howard Lutnick had his last attempt at the then CBOT monopoly. Now it's a full US dollar yield curve attack. Can it work? I've yet to be convinced there's a game changer in here, but it's going to be exciting to watch. As we bring popcorn for that, a couple of interesting deals this week. Not enormous, but India's National Stock Exchange, they've sold their digital tech unit to Investcorp for $120 million. LSEG, they sold their onboarding unit as well. Full story was in Exchange Invest. And the British commodities futures broker Marex made their debut on the Nasdaq Stock Exchange, notching a valuation in total of $1.38 billion. If you're trying to understand where the trends are in financial markets going forward, then you ought to be looking for the Market Infrastructure View at Victory or Death, my most recent book, Blockchain, Cryptocurrency and the FinTech World. It's published by DV Books and distributed by Ingram Worldwide. While you're waiting for your copy of Victory or Death to arrive, check out our live stream. That's Tuesdays, 5 o'clock London time, midday New York time, the IPO video live show. You can catch the back episodes on LinkedIn and YouTube via IPO-Vid. This week we had an epic show, and that was episode number 141 with Roland Bellegarde, a very, very famous figure from Euronext and subsequently NYSE Euronext, who's nowadays the chief advisor to the CEO of the Saudi Tadawul Exchange, and his topic was modernizing Saudi markets, modernizing Tadawul. Great discussion there. You can find that online. Just go search IPO-Vid. Coming up this week, another epic show, Blue Ocean, a New Market Tide. Don't miss this one, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have the boss, Brian Hindman, of the most exciting ATS of the moment, Blue Ocean. Speaking of Blue Oceans and all sorts of things that took place there and thereabouts, one company that had an inordinate number of private jets flying across a blue ocean, the Atlantic, for a long time was, of course, the companies Daimler and Chrysler when they had a bit of corporate M&A action a couple of decades back. That's our book of the week this week, Taken for a Ride, all about Mercedes-Benz buying Chrysler, or at least Daimler, the parent company of Mercedes-Benz buying Chrysler for $36 billion in 1998. It's a gripping narrative by Bill Vlasic and Bradley A. Sturtz, going behind the scenes of the corporate drama, which ultimately didn't work out. Really worth a read this, a fabulous book of the week all round. Product news. One big highlight, of course, we're getting there. We're only weeks away now. We're in May. It's going to happen at the end of the month. The US, Mexico and Canada are all going to T+1 settlement for their equities. FX dealers face end-of-day trading stress from T+1 shift reports risk. This could also, of course, be read as stunningly linear FX market incapable of amending CLS to make it a dynamic, modern clearing entity. In technology news this week, the Vietnamese regulator, they intervened and they rejected the May start date for the new KRX-derived system for the Vietnamese Stock Exchange. That was due to launch on May the 2nd. We await news on when that deal is going to take place. Regulation news, one thing, the city is minting, according to City AM, which is going through a golden period at the moment, actually. Very, very readable, City AM once again. The city is mounting a final push to topple the FCA's name and shame regime. What frustrates me here is that any investigation can be named and shamed by FCA under these plans without it being clear there is guilt. But the London exchanges, the London stock exchanges, have to keep secret details of members who transgress their rules and are punished. Whether this farce seems ridiculous. Career paths, very busy week. Carlson Tong has been confirmed as Hong Kong Exchange's chairman on the retirement of Laura Cha at the annual general meeting of Hong Kong Exchange's group. The SET, SET Stock Exchange of Thailand, they announced that Pichai Chunhavijira has tendered his resignation as chairman of the SET Board of Directors. That came very, very quickly. He stepped down immediately from the SET Board of Governors on April the 25th. That was a big surprise, but apparently Mr. Chunhavijira is scheduled to become Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Finance of the Kingdom of Thailand in the near future. Meanwhile, there's also an upcoming CEO vacancy at the Stock Exchange of Thailand, as nobody has applied to replace the SET President, Pakorn Petattawattachai's position, which is going to be open in September. Thus, the 30th of April deadline for applicants has been extended to May the 15th. Meanwhile, to round out an exciting week in career paths, the MCX in India are also advertising once again for a new CEO after SEBI nixed their last slate of choices. Of course, this week included May Day, the 1st of May, that pan-European Day of Indolence, and a day when we can all sit down and reflect upon all the people who innocently died while people have been trying to manage to create a socialist state which worked. Still seems to be celebrated far and wide across the globe. I suppose, on the other hand, there are many, many victims of socialism and communism that we ought to be celebrating because of the numbers of the millions, tens of millions, in fact, of innocent victims. Anyway, given that doctrine's failure and continuing failure, we had a very interesting run in Big World of Facts centred around different aspects of communist failure. We centred this week on the DDR, the former communist East Germany. Here's a couple of interesting facts for you. In 1989, when the Berlin Wall fell, amongst East Germans, aka the citizens of the communist DDR, a scant 16.16%, mostly senior civil servants, had home telephones. Across West Germany, the coverage stood at a much more egalitarian 99.3% of all the population. You didn't have to be a senior civil servant. Any worker could get a phone. In 1989, 65% of DDR apartments were still being heated with coal stoves. At the same time, 24% of DDR homes in 1989 had no internal toilet, and indeed, 18.18% entirely lacked a bathroom. And on that mysterious and magnificent note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to this, the Exchange Invest Weekly Podcast number 243. You can join us daily via exchangeinvest.com. Or if you have a new exchange or market you'd like built, get in touch. My name is Patrick L. Young, and I wish you all a great week in life and markets.
This show relates to the business of bourses. It is not to be construed as investment advice, nor are we making any investment recommendations. Please consult an investment advisor before you make any investments, and for goodness sake, do your due diligence and do not make investments without complying with the regulations in your home state. Exchange Invest cannot be held responsible for any investment decisions made as a result of our program, which is for entertainment purposes only. The material herein is copyright Patrick L. Young at the date of publication, while our music and sound effects are sourced from copyright-free sources. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly, the exchange of information.